These last week, and it's called "If It Is to Be, It's Up to Me." If it is to be, it's up to me. A lot of times, as Christians, we want to spiritualize things. Well, we say, "Well, it's all up to the Lord." Well, you know, you think about it. God has given us everything that we need to do what we're supposed to do. We said last week He's given us the seed and the soil and the sunshine and the rain and the seasons, the talent, the ability, the opportunity. And so if it is to be, it's up to me. And sometimes people say, "Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord." Now, I want to say to you, God's waiting on you because He's already given you what you need. In fact, the Scripture tells us that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So we have to participate with God in our growth, where we're going, what we're going to accomplish. And so last week we talked about setting goals. And this is the time of the year that we set New Year's resolutions. And I bet you there's a ton of them out there. And statistically, they last about 2 or 3 weeks. And then we kind of go back to our other way of life, if we're not careful. So last week we talked about setting goals. And here's kind of what we talked about. Because I want us to set goals that mean something. I want us to set goals that we see come to fruition. Because a lot of times we're frustrated in life because we'll set a goal and we don't follow through with it, and then we feel bad about ourselves. And it's a downward spiral. And we feel like failures and we beat ourselves up. So I want to give you some tools that will help you with goal setting. And here's the first one. This is the first thing that we talked about last week, that goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. A lot of times we think of it as just a natural thing. Here's what I want to do, and I'm going to set that goal. But really, it's deeper than that. And I want to share a verse with you. It says this, 1 Corinthians 6:20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, if you're born again, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, guess what? You do not belong to yourself. You were bought. You were paid for at a price. That price was the life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And He paid for you. He bought you. And it says that, therefore, for that reason, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. It didn't say you will glorify God. It says, therefore, you glorify God. It's a choice that you make. Because if it is to be, it's... help me preach a little bit, somebody. It's up to me. Okay? He's already done everything that he will do. He's given us all of those things that we've talked about. There's a whole bunch that He's given us. Then it says in Romans 11:36 and into Romans 12, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." For of Him, through Him, and to Him. So let's get a picture of this. Everything comes from Him. The Bible says He is the Alpha. He is the beginning. He was in the beginning and He created. And He created what we enjoy. He created the earth and He created you. He was part of the beginning. And it says, and then through Him, He not only created it, He came to earth after we messed it up to provide a way that it can come through Him. And it says, and then here on this end, it says it's to Him. So it's from Him, through Him, to Him. He is the Alpha, He is the Omega, He is the first, and He is the last. Then he goes into Romans 12, 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the what? The mercies of God, that you present your body. He says, I beseech you, therefore. The word therefore, why is the word therefore? Because of what was said, by him, through him, and to him are all things. Therefore, present your bodies to God a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable or rational service. It only makes sense that if we belong to him, our body belongs to him, our spirit belongs to him, it came from him, it came through him, and it's supposed to go to him, that we ought to present ourselves to God. That is reasonable and rational for us to do. That is our response to him. Because if it is, if it's going to be, it's up to me. He doesn't make me do that. If it is to be, then it's up to me. So we talked about goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. You know, if I come up here with a basketball and I just shoot into the air and say, ooh, wasn't that impressive? And it's just bouncing. What's wrong with that? What do I need? I need a goal, don't I? So if I bounce a basketball and I hit the goal, hey, I know I made 2 points. I know I made 3 points. Or if I bounce and I say, oh, that was short. Oh, that was wide to the right. Oh, that was to the left. Oh, I hit it. I won't know that unless I have a goal. And many people float through life without a goal. They never set a goal. And they never know if they reach what they're supposed to do. So, guess what? Guess what? If I'm going to have a goal, it's up to me. It's up to me. I have to set goals. So it's important that we do that. And goals are important because goals are statements of faith. See, goals have to do with things that you can't see in the natural. They're things that are in your future. And the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So by faith, we see the goal. We set it out there, and by faith, we see it. So it is a statement of faith. I want to lose so many pounds, or I want a budget, or I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. Goals that we set. Goals that we set out there. These are not something that we've already done. These are not necessarily things that are easy to do. Hey, if it was easy, anybody could do it. It takes some stuff, and we'll talk about that. So this is the statement of faith. So the third thing is that goals focus my energy. If you don't have a goal, you'll expend your energy here, over there, over there. And the first thing you know, you're wore out. And what have you accomplished? Not much. Not much. You know what? If you don't set goals, you're going to fall under somebody else's goal. And you know what they plan for you? Not much. You have to set your goals. Don't fall under somebody else's goals. Set your goals. And guess what you can accomplish? Much. But if you fall under somebody else's goals, they haven't planned much for you at all. Amen. Have y'all gone home? Okay. I'm just checking on you. So goals focus my energy. The fourth thing is that goals keep me going. Goals keep me going. Sometimes it's easy to veer this way, to veer this way, to get distracted by this. I'm upset about this, and and the first thing you know, I'm in a tizzy. And what have I done? I forgot about my goals. When I am looking at my goals every day and I say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible every day, every day. When I get to the end of the day, I look at my goals and say, how did I do today? It keeps me focused. It keeps me going. It keeps me going in the right direction. Here's the most important part of goal setting. Goals build character. That's the most important things about goals. goal setting and obtaining the goal is not the best thing that you get. It's not the obtaining of that goal. It's what you become in obtaining that goal. The change that takes place on the inside of you. See, if you're going to change your destiny, you have to change yourself. If you're going to change your direction, it starts with a change of yourself. And that's what we're talking about. Goals help me change. Goals help me change. I've learned this in the last few years. But the best thing about it is I become the kind of person that I need to be as I reach my goals. My goal is not, that is not my total reward. That's not even my best reward. The best thing is what I become in reaching that goal. Then the last thing is that good goals will be rewarded. Good goals and bad goals will be rewarded too, but not in a way that you want. So good goals will bring you into good places, places of reward. Now, in setting goals, we talked about this, we need to ask ourselves three questions. Because if you set a goal for the wrong reason, you may accomplish that goal, but it won't bring you where you're supposed to be. Let's say that I say, I'm going to go to the gym like Tim, and I'm going to work out. And the reason that I'm going to do that is so that I can attract chicks. I want to feel, my wife would never go for that. Okay? She's narrow-minded about that kind of stuff. Now, is being healthy a good thing? But for the reason of picking up chicks, what if I wasn't married? Still not a good reason. I'm going to do it so I'll feel better about me. But it's still about me. Okay? So we can set good goals, or we can set goals, obtain those goals, but they don't obtain the result because we don't become the right kind of person that we need to become. So we need to ask ourselves three questions as we're setting goals. Number one, will it honor God? Picking up chicks does not honor God. Feeling better about myself does not honor God. But I do know this, that when I reach a godly goal, I will feel better about me, but that's not the object of it. The object of it should be to honor God. To honor God. My body belongs to Him. My spirit belongs to Him. I need to honor God in my body and in my spirit. I need to honor Him in my mind. He needs to be honored everywhere that belongs to Him, and that's what? Everywhere. Everything. What do I have that belongs to me? The answer is nothing. I do not belong to me. When I understand that, that's freeing. That's not bondage. That's freedom. God is not a party pooper, okay? God is not against you having a good time, being fulfilled. He's not against that. But He is against you doing it your way when you leave Him out of it. So, does it honor God? Number two, is it motivated by love? What's the strongest power in the earth? It's the power of love. So is my goal motivated by love? And then number three, will it require dependence on God to reach that goal? And the good thing about that is that if I have to depend on God, then I'm going to have to relate to God. And that will improve my fellowship with God. It needs to be through Him. So it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about our spiritual lives. And we're going to look at a story. And this is a story found in Luke chapter 15. And it's a story about what we call the prodigal son. There's a father. He has two sons. And we're going to read this story. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. And I want you to listen to it. First of all, I want to say, this is not written to outsiders. OK, Okay? This story is written about a father and two sons that belong to him. So the parallel that we need to make is that a father and his children, those who are followers of Christ. So this is kind of written to Christians, okay? The story to the outsider would be different than it is to those who are on the inside. There's some theological things here, but we're not going to get into that. Okay, here's the story. There once was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Father, I want right now what's coming to me." Look at that attitude. So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags, left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all of his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. Now, this is a Jewish family. How many of you know pigs and Jews don't mix? They're not Razorback fans. They don't eat pigs. They don't call the hogs. Okay? They're not kosher. They're unclean. But notice what he had come to. He was assigned to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses, and he said, "All those farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you, and I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.'" He got right up and went home to his father. Now look at this. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. The son started his speech. "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. So we see here a family, a father and two sons. One turns his back on father, takes his inheritance, and goes to a distant land. See, the thing is, that he wanted the father's goods, but he did not want the father. Now that can cause us to stop and ponder something here. Would you be okay with having God's blessing without God in your life? Would you be willing to go to heaven and enjoy all of heaven, you know, the golden streets and the mansions of glory and all of the blessings and no death and Jesus not be there? But this is what he wanted. He wanted the Father's blessing, but he did not want the Father. Spiritual problem here. And sometimes believers get themselves in that mode that they're seeking the blessing of God, but they're not seeking God. They're seeking the hands of God, but they're not seeking the face of God. They lose focus. No longer is it about the Father, it's about what He provides. And we're setting ourselves up for an estrangement. This is pretty radical what the son did. I mean, he separated himself. He ran from his father. And I've seen Christians for different reasons. You know, they run from God. And what's amazing is that the blessing that the Father gave the Son was eventually His downfall. You can take something that's intended to be a blessing to you and use it wrongly and it be a curse to you. See, that's why I say when we set our goals in life that we need to have the right reasons that we set goals in life. See, we need to be in a relationship with God. America is one of the most blessed nations in all the world. Have you ever noticed that people are climbing over fences and riding in boats and everything they can to get to America? I don't know anybody that's trying to get to Mexico. I don't know anybody that's trying to get to Iraq. I don't know anybody that's trying to get to Iran. I don't know anybody that's trying to get to Africa unless they're going as missionaries. Everybody wants to come to America. Why? We're so blessed. And folks, we're so blessed in this country that we take it for granted. And many times we feel entitled. What did the Son say to the Father? Give me what belongs to me. Give me mine. Can you see His heart? He was estranged from the Father, living in Father's house, enjoying Father's blessing, did not want Father but wanted His stuff. And if we're not careful, we get in that same mode and don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. So let's talk about four things here that was His turnaround. There's four things that He did or that happened to Him that caused Him to turn around. Because I know sometimes when people come to their bottom, they do one of two things. They either turn around or they dig a deeper hole. And they keep going down, 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 down. I see it. I mean, they're not smart enough to see what their lifestyle has brought them to. And it's easy to say, well, you know what? If my father had not done this, I wouldn't have done this. Or if my brother hadn't acted that way, then I wouldn't have done this. That's not what he did. That's not what he did. Number one, he had to get fed up with his life. He had to get fed up with the way he's living. Some Christians need to get fed up with the way they're living. They look at what happens over and over and over and over in their lives. And I hear people say all the time, well, I just don't understand why that's happening to me. Look at yourself. Look at what you're sowing. Look where your path is taking you. See, he wasted all that he had. He had nothing left. He got desperate and hungry. And he finally came to his senses. There has to come a moment of reckoning when we realize that my lifestyle has led me to this. It's not mama's fault. It's not daddy's fault. It's not society's fault. It is my fault. Say this with me. I still love Brother David. Okay. All right. I just want to stay in love with you because I love you. And I'm not judging you. I'm getting you to judge yourself. Hey, I have to judge me. I have to deal with my attitude. Jeremiah 29:13-14 says this. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. I'll turn things around for you. Isn't that a good promise? But if it is to be, it's up to me. It's not up to God. It's up to me. You notice that when Son left, Father didn't pursue. Father let him go. He released him. He didn't pursue him. He didn't beg him. He had to come to the end of himself. He had to crash. He had to burn. He had to turn around. And he had to say, I'm tired of the way that I'm living. See, we generally we change for one of two reasons. Inspiration or desperation. What was his? He's starving to death. What's better, inspiration or desperation? Inspiration. Can I just say, most of us come to Christ through a tragedy of some kind in our life. I did. Wouldn't it be better if we're inspired to change than rather having to come to the end of our own cotton-picking ways and turn around? Yeah, it would be better that way. Here's the second thing he had to do. He had to own up to his sin. He had to own up to his sin. Again, he could not say, well, if my father had been more kind, I wouldn't have done this. Or if my brother hadn't been such a judgmental jerk, I wouldn't have done this. Or if our economy wasn't the way that it was, I wouldn't have done this. Or if this famine hadn't happened, I wouldn't be in the mess that I am. You know what he did? He says, you know what? I have sinned. He got real. He got real with himself. He got real with God. And it was his desperation that caused his eyes to be open. And he says, you know what? I have sinned. Kind of reminds me of somebody else in the Bible that we studied a few weeks ago. Remember King David? Remember King David? The story of David and Bathsheba? He goes out on the porch and she's out there bathing. And he said, bring her to me. He got her pregnant. Tried to cover it up by bringing husband home so he would sleep with her and David wouldn't be blamed. Uriah, out of his integrity, wouldn't do that. He sent him with a note to have him killed. Once he was killed, he married his wife and thought, case closed, sin covered. Oh, but for Nathan the prophet, who came and confronted him. And when he pointed his finger at him and says, David, you are the man that sinned. David says, I have sinned. He didn't say, you know what, if Bathsheba hadn't been out there naked, I probably wouldn't have done this. You know what he said? I have sinned against God. Now, who did he sin against? He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Uriah. He sinned against his own family. He sinned against his wives. He sinned against his nation. He sinned against so many people. But he says, I have sinned against God. Can I just tell you, all sin begins with a sin against God. If we keep our spiritual priorities where they need to be, it's amazing how well our life will go for us. But we're so bad about passing blame. We want to blame society. We want to blame our family. We want to blame dysfunction. We want to blame everything in the world. And instead of coming and say, hey, I've sinned against God. I have a God problem. He came to that realization. He came to that realization. Here's the third thing. He had to offer up himself. He goes back to Father. He goes back to Father. And he starts this speech. Father runs out to meet him. Dad's glad to see him. But he starts this speech. He says, Father, I have sinned against God. And I've sinned against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. Contrast this to what he said before. Father, give me what belongs to me. I'm entitled. Now he's saying, I'm not worthy. Make me your servant. Wow. Can you see the change in his heart? From one of pride and arrogance and entitlement to one of humility and submission. He had to offer himself. Now, is that what the Father had in mind for him to become a servant? No. No. Why? He's a son. He's a son. God doesn't want you. Now, I'm going to say something. It's going to sound funny. Then I'm going to correct it. He don't want you to be his servant. He wants you to be his son. And as a son, you serve God. Your title is not servant. Your title is son. Your title is daughter. And sons and daughters, you honor your father and serve him. One is a title, the other is a privilege. See, that's what he's after. So he says, hey, let's clean him up a little bit. Let's bring some new clothes. Let's put a family ring on his finger. Let's put some shoes on his feet. Hey, let's have a feast. Let's have a feast. So he had to offer himself up. He had to offer himself up. Here's the fourth thing. He had to lift up his praise. Because he did all of those things, he went into a celebration. Now here, this is something that's very important. Can I ask you a question? You don't have to raise your hands unless you want to. How many of you messed up in your life? Messed up royal and big and awful? I have. So what do I have to do? I go through these steps. You come to the end of that. Say, this is not the way I want to live. This is not what I want to be. Two, I have sinned. Three, humble myself, offer myself to God. And what did the Father do? New clothes, new ring, new shoes, party, celebration. So did he stay in this, I don't deserve it. I'm so unworthy. No. He entered back into sonship. He put his past behind him. Listen, if you don't put your past behind you, it'll predict your life for the rest of your life. We have to put what's behind us, and we have to press forward to what's ahead. Are you with me today? This is what this prodigal son did. He was restored to sonship. Now, there's another problem in the house called the other brother. He was self-righteous. And we found out that it just made him mad when brother came home. I've served him all of this time, and he never gave me a party. Father said, son, all I have is yours. He too wanted the stuff without the father. His was a different problem. He accused his brother. When brother came home, it upset him. Brother was restored. We don't know whether the other son was restored or not. Both of them had a problem. So we got to put the past behind us. And we got to walk into the future. See, you may be here today and, this time of the year, maybe time for a new start in life. Here's my challenge. Let's set some goals. Write them down. Write them down. And this brings us to the last part of this message is that we have to have the habit of regular spiritual checkups. Because listen, if your decisions are not spiritual in nature, they won't last long. They won't last long. And if they do, they will not produce eternal results because they're not based in spiritual honoring God, love, depending on God. we're not talking about being strong in yourself. We're talking about being strong in God. So what do we have to do? We have to have the habit of a regular checkup. Now let me read a verse to you here. Test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not merely hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Don't just float and drift through life. You have to check up. So what do you have to do? You take your goals. You write them down. At the end of your day, before you go to bed, get your goals out and look at them. And say, how did I do today? Remember, this is the basketball shooting at the goal. Oh, I was short. Or I was right. Or I was left. Oh, I hit my goal. And when you check things up, when you check it out, it helps you stay on course. It helps you to make the corrections. If you can see the goal and you miss the goal, then you know how to make the corrections. But if you don't write it down, if you don't examine it, if you don't check it day by day, the first thing you know, you'll be off course. You'll be off course. It is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. Next week, we're going to talk about another aspect. Today is the spiritual. We're going to talk about the mental. The mental. Does your mind belong to God? Does your mind belong to God? Yes, it does. So we're going to talk about all of these. We're going to challenge you in every area to set some goals for this year. See, if you're going to be a better person, you can't change your destiny today, but you can change your direction. I'll say that again. You cannot change your destiny today, but you can change your direction. That's to decide, set a goal, and then you begin to pursue that goal. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. Did you get anything out of that today? I hope so. I want to pray. We're going to open this up if you need prayer for any reason to come. Especially if you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can do that here today, right now. You don't have to come up here, but if you want to, you can. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you that you're on our side. You're not against us, but you're for us. And you've given us everything we need to be what we're supposed to be. And Lord, we know if it is to be, then it's up to me. I have to choose it, set it as my goal, and to pursue it. Bless your people today, I pray in Christ's name. Let's stand together. If you need prayer, come.